Welcome to Shovel Talk, a podcast for economic developers from your friends at the Golden Shovel Agency.
Hello, Darren Varley back with another episode of Shovel Talk. During this episode, we get to reconnect with old friend Justin Sommer, Executive Director of Preble County Development Partnership in Ohio. An old Golden Shovel client who left the industry to go work in the private sector for a bit, but now is back. We got the opportunity to reconnect with him. So let's get to Bethany Quinn and get to know Justin.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for another episode of Shovel Talk. I am here with Justin Sommer, who is the Executive Director for Preble County Development Partnership in Ohio. Justin and I have worked together on and off with Golden Shovel for years. A very cool guy, a lot of energy and enthusiasm for economic development. So I am excited for all of you to get to know him. Hello, Justin.
Hi, Bethany. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, hey, as you guys know, I want you to get to know Justin before we really dive into economic development. What is Justin like as a person? So I said he had a lot of enthusiasm. I did not tell you that he's also super cool because I found out today he's in a band.
Yeah, I don't know how many local economic development agencies use rock and roll as an attraction strategy, but we do that here in Preble County. So I am in a rock and roll band with the city manager of our largest municipality. And then two of our other bandmates represent some of our largest manufacturers in the community. So it is certainly a fun way to have meetings and really get to know the people that you work with on a day-to-day basis outside of a boardroom.
So where do you guys play?
We play at there's a local brewery, and they've had us a couple of times. Community festivals, we've been out to a couple of those. So yeah, we're not good, but we have a lot of fun. Sure. So typically, if it's a place that needs some entertainment for free, we're usually one of the first calls they make.
That's awesome. Well, if they make the call to you, then even if you're not great, you have to at least be decent, right? Because they think that you being there will help the event, not harm it.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had too many people run away from the performance yet, but we have fun, and I think that's really what we're about.
That's awesome. And talk about a way to bring people together in the community, right? You know, obviously you're operating as a county, and it can be hard sometimes to build those deeper connections with your city or community partners. And it sounds like this is kind of a cool way to do it. Why not?
Yeah. And I think that speaks to the greater attitude that exists in rural communities. It's, you know, we're pretty easygoing people, and we enjoy having fun. But it's really about relationships. And that's how we get things done. You know, there's still a lot of projects and deals that that get done over a handshake or over taking someone's word. So, you know, having those relationships are very important to us. And I think it's what makes us successful.
Yeah, that definitely is an interesting thing with being an economic developer in rural America. Is I think if you're dealing with people who aren't accustomed to those types of relationships, they don't even know what to expect, but that can be such a value, right? Just to be able to pick up the phone and get something done because you've sat across the table from someone last week, a lot easier.
Yeah. And you know, in smaller communities, you know, I'm the only one doing economic development in our county. So in order to get things done, it's going to take relationships. It has to happen through partnerships, because my organization doesn't have the capacity on its own to do some of the big things that we need to do. So yeah, the comfort level of being able to pick up the phone and have an honest conversation with your stakeholders, because you've got a relationship outside of the professional relationship, it really does make things easy. And I think it makes us effective.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was wondering, I always ask this of everyone, when you were growing up, you probably had never heard of economic development. No one has. So what did you actually want to be before you found your way here?
I was convinced that I was going to be a professional baseball player. But I remember in high school going to batting practice with my buddy, and his hands were just raw, blistered from taking so much batting practice. And that didn't appear to be real attractive to me. So I hung up the cleats and had to figure out what I was going to do with my life. But economic development was not what the end goal was by any means.
Yeah, it's always funny the routes that people take to economic development, but I think the diverse backgrounds definitely make for really a more knowledgeable community. And that's one of the things I want to talk about too, is the fact that you, I think, have a very interesting background, starting in workforce development, for one. Obviously, that's such a huge issue right now, and that's how you started your career in this type of space. And then you also worked in the private sector for a while. So how do those diversities of experiences help you in your role today?
Yeah, in rural economic development, you do have to sort of be a jack of all trades. So I have throughout my career taken the opportunity to challenge myself to learn new things and to jump into jobs or projects that I really had no business being involved in, had no knowledge about, but always showed that willingness to learn. So you're right, I got my start in workforce development, and that was during the Great Recession. So very different economic challenges that we were facing in those times. But the companies that survived that time period were aggressive in taking market share. So there were still opportunities for growth, and there was still a need for workforce. And at that time, workforce had incentive dollars to go around that companies were interested in. So I got pulled into economic development projects through the workforce funding availability that we had. And then that was interesting. So I wanted to learn more about economic development, went through our state training program that kind of gives you an overview of everything that economic development touches, and then continued to challenge myself as I grew in my career to take on different or new initiatives. So I was able to be exposed to building regulations, which I had no idea about, federal programs like CDBG, and at that time it was trade adjustment assistance. So all of these programs that you have to piece together to make projects happen was very interesting to me. And every project really is just a giant puzzle, which I love to do. So figuring out, you know, how we make this project happen. What are the site infrastructure needs? What are the workforce needs? What are the community wants and desires? And then how do you piece all those things together to make sure that the project is successful for everybody that's involved? And I just find that incredibly interesting. And I also get bored easily. So if you look at my LinkedIn profile, you can see I don't stay anywhere too long. But once things are running smoothly and going the way that they should be, I'm ready for that next challenge.
I think that's interesting in the sense that when you talk about putting that puzzle together and creating that infrastructure, that base infrastructure, is also about a lot of persistence. Economic development, people who are new to it don't realize it's a long game in pretty much everything you're doing.
And that's one of the reasons I'm in the position that I'm in currently. So if you would have asked me to come to Preble County Development Partnership 10 years ago, I probably would not have been interested in that opportunity, because at that time, Preble County wasn't quite ready for the projects that I'm taking on. Now, that doesn't mean that what they were doing wasn't good. It absolutely was. And my predecessors were building the foundation of the organization to put me in a position to utilize the talents and diversity of skill set that I have to help the community grow to the next point. So it even organizationally, it's a puzzle to figure out where the right fit for you is as an economic developer. You know, I love rural economic development. I don't know that I would be successful if I was in a big city. It's a different type of development. I don't know if I would be successful in an area that was seeing continuous success, where development projects were easy, if there is such a thing. You know, I enjoy the challenge, and we have challenges in Preble County. So we've been very successful over the last 10 years that my organization has been in existence. We've seen tremendous job growth. We've seen tremendous wage growth. But what that means now is that we're out of inventory. So we've got to do the hard work to build sites, both for residential development and for industrial development. And those projects are complicated and expensive. And when you're working in small communities, it's difficult to pull those resources together to make those projects happen. But, you know, my background and my skill set, I think, is set up for that. So this is the right opportunity for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think what you're speaking to in regards to situatedness is right on. You know, everyone has their own unique skill set, and it's finding the merger of your skills with the need of the organization and the community readiness and making sure it's a match. You did talk about, obviously, the success you've had has resulted in no more sites. That is a great problem and also a horrible problem because it impedes your future growth. So what are some of your ideas for how to solve that in Preble County?
It comes back to that foundation of relationships. So Preble County historically has considered itself to be an agricultural county, and that is still and will continue to be an important part of our identity and our economic base. But the reality is it's not the driver of our economic base. Our GDP growth is based on manufacturing. So what that means is we have to have those relationships and conversations with farmers, with our township trustees, who typically are also farmers. So those governmental relationships have to be in place, because we know that when you're taking a green field and turning that into an industrial site, there's going to be pushback. You know, why are we using farm fields that feed the earth and turning those into industrial properties? So, you know, having those relationships to be able to get through those public conversations on why we're making the investments that we are is hugely important to the ultimate success of those projects. And, you know, Bethany, from my website, the tagline that is on the landing page of our website is that economic development is about people and not projects. So we have to ensure that the activities that we're engaging in are right for our community. It's what our community has said that they want. And we do projects to get to that end goal, but it's not about the project. It's not about winning that new manufacturer to town. It's about setting our community up for the future success that they say that they want. So it starts with relationships, but then you get into the details of actually making that project happen. So you have to have the relationships with your utility providers. Who's bringing that water and sewer service? Do we have the right power lines feeding that site? Can the substation handle the future load? Where's the natural gas line? Where's the broadband fiber line? You know, figuring out all of those things. And if they're not there, well, how are you getting them there, and who's paying for that? And of course, that's a giant puzzle. How are you purchasing the land? Are you doing an option agreement with that farmer and allowing him to continue to farm it until you get the infrastructure in place? So, you know, all of that, again, it's a giant puzzle. And to me, it's incredibly interesting. It's very, very hard. But as you said, typically the guy who wins is the guy who's still standing. So you have to be persistent in pursuing these goals.
Yeah, don't give up. Lesson number one in economic development: don't give up.
Yeah, Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, I liken economic development to a baseball player, which is what my intended career path was. Right. So I'm really not too far from that. But if you're a baseball player and you're a 300 hitter, you're probably getting into the Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good career. But that also means that you've failed 70% of the time. And that's what economic development is. A lot of the stuff that we work on never happens or doesn't happen in the way that we thought it would. So you fail much more often than you succeed. But that doesn't mean that you're not doing what you should be doing. And sometimes that's difficult to remember, but that's the reality of our industry.
So I actually love that. And I don't watch sports. I am so unathletic. It's absolutely terrible, my lack of coordination. But I love that analogy, because when you're actually doing the work, failing 70% of the time, that's discouraging. That feels hard. It feels hard to want to pick up the phone and maybe, or have another meeting with another landowner, right? If you've been told no 7 times already.
Yeah, but you step back up to the plate and you take your swings, and sooner or later you connect. And it's not easy. And baseball's not easy. Hitting a round ball with a round bat is said to be the hardest thing to do in sports. And I think economic development is one of the hardest things that we do. The political pushback that you can walk into. And the reality is, right, if it was easy, it would already be done. So typically the people that we're working with, they've got hard problems to solve. So, we play an important role in making those projects happen, but none of the projects we work on are easy projects, or otherwise they wouldn't need us.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good point. One of the things that you mentioned earlier, I want to circle back to, and that's that whole tension between, really respecting the legacy of your community and what's made you who you are. In your case, that's agriculture. But realizing that you have to create jobs in other sectors in order to create opportunities for young people that are, growing up in the community and really growing your economy. How have you been able to balance that in conversation with your stakeholders? Because that is a very hard and sensitive topic.
So I have a phrase that I use often when I'm talking with stakeholders, and it's that we want our communities to be the same, but better, right? So I choose to live in this part of the world. I like the quality of life that we have here as well. So I'm not interested in changing that. That's not what the intent of economic development is. So we don't want to change the fabric of our community. We don't want to change our quality of life, but we do want other things, right? So, when you talk to young people, that they want active, vibrant communities. So how do you do that? When you talk to our manufacturers, obviously they need workforce. So what are we doing to build new housing? And what type of housing should that be? You can't have single family homes on half acre lots and expect to address the workforce challenges that our manufacturers have. So how do we have that conversation with our local municipalities about what their zoning code will allow? And does that meet the need of what our employers have? If we're going to get that Chick-fil-A or that retail store that people in the community say they want, we have to demonstrate growth. So it's aligning what our priorities are as an economic development organization with the priorities of the community. That takes time, that takes trust, and a lot of communication. So we want to be transparent in the activity that we engage in. Obviously, when we're dealing with specific projects, there's confidentiality that we have to maintain, but the public has to know that the efforts that we are pursuing align with the goals that they have for their community. I reiterate, it's not Justin sitting in his office saying, this is what we're going to do today. That's not how economic development works, right? So we do those stakeholder engagement opportunities. We do roundtables. We do surveys, and we compile those into reports that we publish for the public. to consume. And it's, you know, you're never going to get 100% consensus, but you've now got a document that says, okay, this is what we want as a community. And my job is to execute on that document. So we don't do strategic plans to sit on the shelf. We do strategic plans that are action plans. So, you know, if the community has said for 20 years that they want an industrial park, we're going to do that. We're going to make every effort that we can to make sure that that happens. And that's the situation that we're in, you know. So my lack of inventory for industrial projects is because we haven't built a new industrial park, even though the community has said they wanted that for 20 years. So it's going to be hard. There'll be pushback, but again, it's what the community wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like because you are engaging the community through roundtables, surveys, things of that nature, and are then able to put out to the public what everyone has said they wanted, then if you get pushback, you can also refer back to the fact that you are executing what the community asked for.
And it is a challenge. Housing is a challenge for us, and I think a lot of people across the country currently. And my experience, it really doesn't matter what housing type you start to build, people will complain about that. It's just the nature of the beast. So I've challenged my employers, my board members, to publicly say, this is what we need in order to be successful as a community. So it takes not only the economic development office coordinating and leading those efforts, but you have to have community leaders who are willing to step forward and publicly say, yes, this is what we want. This is what we need. And that helps to build trust with your community members and ultimately achieve your goals.
In other words, as an economic developer, you should not be doing this alone.
There's no way you can, even in large communities, it takes a partnership. And my opinion is that all economic development is local. Mm-hmm. Whatever the project is, at some point, it's going to land on a site. And all sites are local. So that means all economic development is local. So you have to have that support from the local level. You have to have that engagement, or otherwise it's not going to work. And you know, an example of that would be the Amazon project a couple of years ago that you know, publicly, very public process. So they were going to locate in New York City, but the community was not on board with that, so it didn't happen. So, you know, if you think the project's going to be successful, you have to have that local community engagement.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I do think it is incredibly important to bring everyone into the process, and our recommendation at Golden Shovel is to bring them in early and often.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you know, we're working off of some plans that are 20 years old, and those goals that were set out have not been accomplished. So it's not like an industrial park was mentioned one time in one plan. It continues to be brought up in plans that have been done since. So it's clear to me that this is what the community wants, and we're going to go execute that.
So that brings me to my next question. I mean, it's January 2024. And I know you're working on sites, you're working on housing, you're dealing with workforce challenges, and it's really difficult to do them all. Are you going to try to tackle all of these big initiatives in 2024, or do you have one that's top of mind that you're really trying to move the needle on?
We are trying to tackle all of them.
Awesome. Ambitious.
It is. I realized last year, which was my first year on the job, that I was probably too ambitious in my goal setting, because we did not accomplish a lot of the things that that I had set out to do. But saying that we're going to focus on all of those things, because we need to focus on all of those things. Mm-hmm. You can't really have one without the other. And even if we're not able to accomplish everything that we set out to do, we're planting those seeds. We're building that foundation of community support. So I think a lot of economic development and success in economic development is being prepared, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know when that next project that's right for us is going to come through our pipeline. I don't know when that housing developer is going to come into my office and say, we're looking at Preble County for our next development. But we, whenever that happens, we should be prepared to handle that, to answer those questions, to have that list of sites in our back pocket that we've already evaluated for future development so that we're ready to go. We have to have those community studies that say, yes, we think the community will support this type of project. So a lot of the work that we do is preparing for something that honestly may or may not happen at some point in the future, but we've got to be ready for it. And we saw last year, we saw an example of how that works practically. So we've got a small community, less than 2,000 in population, and it's a community that had seen better times. The buildings in their downtown were nothing to look at. They had high vacancy rates. And you could tell that the community was not thriving, but they partnered with the local university and they did a planning study. So when it came time for a project that I still question why they chose the location that they did, so it doesn't make any sense why they came to Preble County or why they chose to locate in this village, but they did, and we were ready for it. We were ready for the conversations with the company to locate, and we were also ready for those conversations with our regional and state development entities on why we should support this project, because on paper, it really didn't make sense as to why they would locate here. But we had the documentation in place to say that if it locates here, it will be successful.
Sure.
And so, you know, all of that planning that, you know, probably seemed unnecessary was in fact very necessary for winning that project.
So how many jobs is that going to create?
So they committed to creating 30 new jobs, and they don't have the building built yet, and they're already over 50 new jobs. Actually, I just talked to them last week, and they're at 70 jobs that they've created.
Oh, wow.
So and the project has grown. They've actually bought additional buildings in downtown. So they're building a new headquarters in this village of less than 2,000 people. So it's going to be a hugely impactful project. And that's a great example of again, being prepared. But that, you know, it was a small project at 30 jobs. But already has more than doubled what that commitment was. So that's how our economy grows, right?
Right.
Most companies start in a garage. They start in a small office, you know, and they grow into something. And so our job as economic developers is to create that environment where that growth can happen. And this community did the work to do that.
I think that's fantastic. And really, 70 jobs in a town of 2,000 people, that's quite significant, actually.
And they're not done. They've been in business for about 3 years. Their building is not even built yet. So we'll continue to see the benefits of that initial investment for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. Well, speaking of years to come, I know that you are a dad to 3 daughters. And sure. I think as a parent, you can't help as your kids get older, but to think about their future, right? To think about legacy. And so my question to you is, because economic development is such a long-term game, how does that play into your thinking, you know, when you're looking at what you're accomplishing now and then the impact you'll have in the future?
Yeah, and I think, Bethany, that plays right into what our workforce development strategy is. And I am an example of what I would like to see for our community. So I went to college and went to high school about half an hour away from here, went to college about half an hour the other way from Preble County. and couldn't wait to get out of Western Ohio. And I think that is the attitude of a lot of young people in small towns, is they want to experience the rest of the world. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But our job in economic development is to make sure that if they choose to leave, they know what they have to come back to. Mm-hmm. So if you want to work for a global leader and travel the world, you can do that at companies in Preble County. If you want to work in advanced technologies, the semiconductor industry, we've been doing semiconductor manufacturing in Preble County since 1999. So we have those companies that are doing really leading edge work right here in our backyard. If you want that quiet lifestyle and that Hallmark movie downtown, we've got that too. If you want to have access to the city life, you can be in three different large cities within an hour and a half of Preble County. So I could go to Indianapolis, Cincinnati, or Columbus, any one of those in an hour and a half. So it's ensuring that, you know, my kids, that the kids coming out of our local schools in Preble County know that those opportunities exist. And I encourage people to go out and see the world and gather experience and bring that back to make our communities better. So, you know, we hear a lot about brain drain, and, you know, we want to retain talent. And of course, we want to do that. We also want people to go and spread their wings, but know that they have a place to come back to.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I feel like that's a lot of what rural economic developers are trying to do right now, is to improve the quality of place so that when people do leave, they feel like they're still going to get the lifestyle amenities they want back at home, just maybe in a more friendly environment, a more affordable environment, a place where they actually know people, right? Have those connections.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I was living in a large city until kids came along, and then it made sense to move back to where that support network was. So that's what we did, and we've been back almost 20 years now. So it is about quality of life. You know, we're never going to have mountains in Western Ohio. We're never going to have oceans in Western Ohio. But what we do have is pretty awesome. And we want to make sure that we're telling the stories of how awesome it is and why it's the right fit for people here, and how you can be successful. And certainly we've got plenty of those stories to tell. So that is definitely a big part of our workforce attraction strategy. It's a big part of our marketing efforts to say, if this is the quality of life that you enjoy, we're the right place for you.
Sure. I also think it's interesting you talk about being able to work for companies that actually do even have a national or international presence. I don't think very many people realize that there are companies that have that, you know, reach really located in rural communities. I for some reason, I think there's kind of a disconnect, right? Like maybe it's just locally owned mom and pops, and that's certainly not true.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, we have global leaders right here in our backyard, and we have big name companies, Fortune top 50 companies that choose to locate here. Now, we may not be their largest site; they may not have their headquarters located here, but they choose to do business here, and it's important to tell those stories. We were at an employer roundtable just earlier this week. And talking to the plant manager, asked the question of how did she get to Lewisburg, Ohio? And she told the story of doing a college internship in North Dakota, but it was with a large manufacturer that had multiple locations across the country. And as she grew in her career, she was able to grow into different roles and opportunities, and ultimately became a plant manager here, and has chosen to stay here. Could have could have gone off to other opportunities, but those companies exist. That career path exists here. So again, we want to make sure that we're communicating that to our young folks and for people who are looking at relocating from maybe a higher cost place. You know, we do provide a pretty competitive cost of living. So we think we've got a lot to offer, and we just want to make sure we're communicating that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you really have made a big priority of that in Preble County, which is fantastic. So we have talked about quite a few things today. We've covered a lot of really important issues in economic development, not just housing, site development, workforce, but also how to communicate with your stakeholders and the importance of being prepared and planning. And I think that's been really good conversation. I do want to play a shovel toss game with you, but before I do, is there anything that you wanted to elaborate on from what we talked about earlier?
You know, I think like every other industry, we have to be focused on who that next generation of economic developers is going to be coming into these roles. When I go to our state conferences or the Mid-America Economic Development Conference, I quickly realize that I'm the old guy in the room now. I've been around for a little while, but you know, reaching out to people within the industry who have an interest in city planning, in government relations, in business development, and letting them know that economic development is a very rewarding career path for them, I think is important. And as you said earlier, you know, a lot of economic development success is because you are persistent. So recognizing that there are going to be challenges, there's going to be failures, but you've got a great support system and network of professional economic developers. I think the state of Ohio is really a leading example of developing young talent. And for those people who are new in their career, I would encourage you to reach out to some of those old timers like me who are more than willing to share their successes and their failures so that you can learn and grow and be successful in your careers.
No, that's great. Absolutely. I mean, bringing up the next generation is so critical. And for anyone who's listening that is new to economic development, I encourage you to take to heart what Justin said, that he and so many others actually are willing to talk to you. And I know it can be intimidating speaking to someone for the first time, especially if you would like them to mentor you or give you advice. But I can tell you with all sincerity that Justin means it when he says it. And I think so many would be happy to provide you with that guidance. All right. So our shovel toss game, you have to answer as many questions as possible, as quickly as possible. So we're gonna do this for a minute. Can you do this in a minute, Justin?
I like to win, Bethany, so I'm ready for any game.
All right, let's see if you can win. I have my stopwatch here. We're gonna hit start, and I'm just gonna do rapid fire. Ready, set,
I'm ready. Go.
Favorite song?
Blister in the Sun, Violent Femmes.
Best vacation memory?
Probably my youngest daughter teaching my cousin how to dance in Gatlinburg.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate. Can't go wrong.
Childhood nickname?
Nerd.
Ideal superhero power?
Seeing into the future.
All right. First car?
A 1986 Ford Escort Pony 4-speed.
Nice. Book you're reading right now?
I don't read books. I read a lot of articles, so none.
Okay. Number one thing on your bucket list?
You know, I don't have a bucket list. You live every day as it were your last and enjoy that.
All right, good job. You got 8 questions in a minute. I feel like that is, if it's not a record, that is pretty close to the top. So
it's a record for me, so I'm proud of that, Bethany.
Yeah, good job. All right. Well, hey, why don't you close us out today just by reminding everyone who you are and where you're from so they can look you up?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Bethany. I'm Justin Sommer with the Preble County Development Partnership. Happy to have been a partner of Golden Shovel Agency for a long, long time, and appreciate the work that you do, not only for our individual communities, but to spread the word about how impactful economic development is in those communities.
Thanks, Justin. We appreciate you being here. Have a great day.
You
and
too.
Good luck with your 2024 audacious initiatives.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin and Bethany. Golden Shovel News. A lot of you may have heard about this on social media, but we'll update you here as well. Summer Berg, promoted to website population and launch manager. Many of you likely worked with her during your soft launch process, and now she was promoted to kind of take over that exclusively. So we're very excited for her. And also Bethany Quinn, promoted to executive vice president, heading up our operations team. As far as Golden Shovel educational content that we've been pushing out, I hope you all attended our 10 key trends for economic development websites in 2024 last week. That is along with our great partners at GIS Planning, an annual event. So I hope you were able to check that. We should have something new being announced very soon for our upcoming webinars. Golden Shovel on social media. Like us on Facebook at Shovel Toss. Follow us on Twitter at Gold Shovel. Follow us on LinkedIn, Golden Shovel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Golden Shovel Agency. And follow us on our brand new TikTok channel, Golden Shovel Agency. Thank you so much for checking out our latest pod, and we'll be back with a new one very soon. Thank you from Darren.